Oh, thanks, guys and girls, for doing such a great job. And thank you for the adults who help pull that together. And now you can breathe a little easier, right? It's always fear and trepidation, these things. It's interesting, we sang Silent Night. And I think Silent Night is probably everyone's, you know, one of everyone's favorite Christmas carols. I wonder how accurate it is. You know, how many bursts are silent, right? They're usually pretty noisy. There's usually lots of noise. But even, and especially afterwards, right? Because you're telling people the news, right? You're telling family and friends, and you know, you're telling the excitement about the baby being born. And of course, we saw that with the shepherds, right? The shepherds go out, and they made lots of noise that night about Jesus being born. But I want to back up the story 6 months a bit. But when John the Baptist was born, and John the Baptist, Zechariah, John's father, had a very interesting experience regarding the birth of his son. Because before Mary received the message from Gabriel that she would bear the Messiah, her uncle Zechariah, he had a visit from this same Gabriel. Zechariah was at the temple doing his job. He was burning incense just outside the holy place where the Ark of the Covenant is, and he's to pray. He's burning incense, which is a symbol of prayer, and he's praying. And all of a sudden, Gabriel, the same Gabriel, appears to Mary. He appears, and he says to Zechariah, he says, I'm Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and he says, your prayer has been answered. And of course, he says specifically that you and Elizabeth, who are well beyond the childbearing age, are actually going to have a son, and they're to name him John, and John would prepare people for Jesus' coming. Well, Zechariah didn't actually believe Gabriel initially. He didn't believe that he and Elizabeth would actually have a son. So he said, how about another sign? As if an angel showing up in the holy place is not a sign, right? And so God in his grace gave him another sign. Gabriel says, okay, you can't talk or hear for 9 months until your son, John, is born. So if we sing Silent Night, for anyone, it should be for Zechariah. Because for 9 months, right, he could not talk and he could not hear. So John is born. Traditionally, in the Jewish culture, boys are not named until the eighth day, until it's circumcision day. So we read about this in Luke 1, and Zechariah can't talk yet. And so the neighbors and relatives, you know, they're insistent that they name the boy after dad, which is typical. They say, name him Zechariah. But Elizabeth says, no, his name is to be John. They make motions to Zechariah. That's why I think he couldn't hear as well. And so then he writes down, his name is John. And the moment he writes that down, his mouth is opened. And he can hear. And he sings this amazing song in Luke 1. And so the song is sung, I believe, out of a repentant and now a thankful heart. He sings this great song of hope, a hope that he had temporarily lost. I think he had sort of given up hope or just kind of got discouraged all this time, because even the strongest believers, and he was a very strong believer, even the strongest believers can allow negative circumstances in their life to cloud out the promises of God, right? Sometimes we allow that to happen and we kind of forget and we get down on ourselves. You know, he had 9 months to write the song. He had 9 months to think about this and meditate on it. And this is what he wrote. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And I think we should be encouraged by this song because, you know, we can get discouraged at times wondering if God's working, if God's going to bring about his plan one day to bring Jesus back. But God is patient in wanting us to trust him. And so we see here that God uses a doubting Zechariah to help bring the message of Jesus to his community and world. I think that's something we forget. We forget that John and Jesus first went to their own communities with the message of the gospel, which is not easy to do because people gave Jesus a hard time. I mean, one of the reasons why people doubted Jesus is because they knew him. What do you mean? This is the carpenter's son, right? Matthew 13:55. Like this guy can't be the Messiah. Or in John 7:27, the religious leaders say, well, we know where this man comes from, but when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. Or in Luke 4, when Jesus shows up at the synagogue of his hometown and reads Isaiah 61, and then boldly says, today, in your hearing, this is fulfilled. And they're like, whoa. And they had a rock concert, right? They wanted to throw him off a cliff, right? So it's easier to share Jesus with people who we don't know than it is to share Jesus with people we do, isn't it? Right? It's easier to send missionaries and money and maybe even go on a short-term mission trip than it is to bring Jesus to our family, friends, and neighbors. But as we learn here, we need to start sharing Jesus in our own hometowns, in our own communities before and to prepare us to reach people in the world. And so if God uses the Zechariahs with the weaknesses and fears, you know, and doubts, he can use us too with our own weaknesses and fears and doubts. What else did God teach Zechariah that we also need to learn? Well, the first words out of his mouth after 9 months, you know, of silence is a blessing. And he sings this blessing to God. And then he talks about all the things that God is going to do before he even talks about what God is going to do through his son. And the neat thing here is that God's blessing is always meant to impact others. When you are blessed and I'm blessed, God wants us to use that to share with others so they can be encouraged as well. Because what Zechariah sings about first, he first sings about what God's going to do for the nation of Israel and ultimately for the world before he even talks about the fact that God is using his own son to do this. And that reminds us that God blesses us so we can bless others. We talked about that last week, right, with Mary and Elizabeth. Like, share your burdens, share your answers to prayer, share your joys with others who will also be encouraged and be reminded that, yes, God is working. Because we need to be reminded of that sometimes, because sometimes we're wondering, is God working? And he always is. Zechariah's song, right? He says, because John is born, this is an amazing thing. I mean, the only thing that's happened so far is his son is born. Jesus hasn't been born yet. But because John is born, Zechariah, through the eyes of faith, knowing the word of God, says everything else is going to happen because of today. Because of today, every other promise from God is now going to be fulfilled, which is crazy, right? He mentions three covenants, right? The Abrahamic, the Davidic, and the New Covenant in this passage alone. So Zechariah basically tells people, he says, the Messiah is coming and he's going to change your life. That's really what the message of the gospel is, right? And that's still the message of the gospel. Jesus came, died for our sins. He's coming back to rule. We need to make sure we've placed our faith in Jesus before he returns. So John's ministry is really our ministry too. Prepare people for Jesus because of the tender mercies of God. And God's promise about Jesus coming was because he was merciful. And God is merciful, and he doesn't want to. He's not going to abandon his people. He's going to bring about all his promises one day. And we need to show the same mercy that God shows, right? We need to forgive others as we've been forgiven. That's how we show God's mercy to others. So Zechariah sings it toward the end of the song. He sings of Jesus that the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those in darkness, and he says to guide our feet in peace. You know, many people don't realize they're in darkness. Many people don't realize they're in spiritual darkness. They don't realize that they're lost and they're separated from God by their sin. And they don't have peace in their life. They're unaware that they live in the shadow of death. And that death, of course, is always the final separator between God and ourselves if we don't seek forgiveness of sins through Jesus and get the peace that only faith in him brings. And only Jesus alone forgives us of our sins. Zechariah should have sung this song the day Gabriel gave him the news, right? He should have sung the song then, but he doubted. And so he missed an opportunity to share in this great blessing to his own community that Jesus was coming and going to change their life. And our doubts and disobedience at times causes us to miss opportunities as well in our own communities to let them know that Jesus has come and forgive them of their sins as well. So we need to be prepared. We need to be ready to share that message with us. Because like Zechariah, God gives us other opportunities, right? God gave Zechariah another chance to tell people around him that the message of the gospel, the message of forgiveness and mercy in Jesus Christ was there. God is full of mercy and is more than willing to always use us again, even when we blow it. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we prepared, right? Are we prepared to show his message and to share his message in our own community as well as in our world so that those living in darkness can find the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the kids reminding us. Thank you for your word reminding us of why you saved us, why you've showed your mercy to us, why you opened our hearts and forgave us of sins. Help us to share this at Christmas, share this anytime with family and friends to help them to understand that the only hope, the only true hope that is found in now and in forever is faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Lord, as much as we like to think we're great and wonderful people, your word says we're all in the same boat. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but you in your mercy have extended hope and peace and joy towards us in your Son, Jesus Christ, so that through faith in him, we can have forgiveness of sins, the knowledge of forgiveness of sins now, and the knowledge of faith or eternity with you forever. That is our hope. That is our joy. And help us, at this Christmas especially, to share that with others. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we light our candles. We're on the fourth Sunday in Advent, so I'm going to invite Dave and Rosanna to come and light our candles for today.